This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Philip Xiaoning and Shazana. In about half an hour, we're going to discuss the pros and cons of mandatory voting. But in the meantime, we're reviewing Malaysia's record in combating human trafficking. Malaysia has again been given the lowest rank in the latest U.S. Trafficking in Persons Report 2022. We're still in Tier 3 for the second consecutive year.
So released last week, the report said that the Malaysian government does not fully meet the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking and is not making significant efforts to do so, even considering the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the country's anti-trafficking capacity. The report added that the government has continued to conflate human trafficking and migrant smuggling crimes, which impeded law enforcement and victim identification efforts.
The U.S. State Department places each country into one of three tiers based on the extent of government action to combat trafficking and on the size of the problem. Tier 3 countries in this list this year include Malaysia, Brunei, Myanmar, Cambodia, China, Iran, Cuba, Democratic Republic of Korea, Russia, Vietnam. So does this have an impact on foreign investor perceptions for Malaysia?
And what should the government be doing really in order to, I suppose, increase our ranking in this report? For some thoughts on this, we have with us Adrian Pereira, Director of the North-South Initiative. Adrian, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. Now, the report said that the Malaysian government does not fully meet the minimum standards for the elimination of trafficking in persons and that it's not making significant efforts to do so. Maybe you can help us understand, what are these minimum standards?
Hi, good morning. Adrian from North-South Initiative here. So when it says it doesn't or it hasn't achieved the minimum standards, it's referring to international trafficking standards, especially what has been defined by the Americans themselves. And it's based on a concept or a principle called the Palermo Protocol. And in this report, what is actually analyzed is the in the sense of human trafficking cases. They look at the prosecution, protection, prevention, partnerships, victim identification, access to justice, restitution, and even this one specific topic that is kind of interesting to me, which is impunity of corrupt officials involved in trafficking. So basically, we're saying they're saying that, you know, we have tried to do some efforts, but it just doesn't have any impact yet.
Okay, so there's two parts to this. You've just covered what minimum standards are, but I want to know what it means by not making a significant effort to do so. Because bear in mind, we fluctuated between Tier 2, being on the watch list for Tier 2, and then finally Tier 3 for the last, and this has been happening over the last 20 years. Why has there been minimal progress with each government?
Yeah, so back to your question. Actually, if you look at the figures, the maths doesn't add up. So even though we have about between 1.5 million to 2 million documented migrants and maybe another 2 million undocumented. In terms of the measurement, for example, how many prosecutions took place, how much convictions took place, how many officers were charged, how many investigations, it's still so small. And it shows that we can almost conclude that the government hasn't showed the political will to solve this. And the reasons are yet to be analyzed. But it also shows that we have been so used and addicted to cheap labor that our whole economy depends on it. And no one seems to help make the shift into high-skill and high-wage labor like what our neighbors in Singapore did in the 80s. So we are still stuck at that level where we are dependent on low-skilled labour or cheap labour.
So what does it take to move from Tier 3 to Tier 2? Are there any cases out there of countries successfully doing it? And typically, how long does it take to move to Tier 2?
If the government is serious and actually implements some of the current laws and plans, I think we should be able to move to Tier 2 if we are serious and have the political will. But it doesn't seem to be like that. Even through the cases that my organization has handled, even a simple thing like victim identification is so problematic. And if you're wondering why there's so many migrants in the Malaysian detention centers, it's exactly because of that. We have failed to identify who are the real victims of trafficking and then further punish them. So we just have to, of course, execute efficiently our national action plan on forced labor. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that we have just amended some of the laws and yet to see it being practiced in full.
Adrian, I'm curious, has the government or any government before this had much engagement with stakeholders like yourselves on this issue since the country dropped it in its ranking in 2021?
Yes, the government continues to engage civil society at a minimal level. In fact, one of the indicators used in the report is how much funds are given to, I think it's two women shelters run by NGOs, but the money involved is so small. And also how the government engages civil society through MAPO, which is the Anti-Trafficking Council, but the engagement is still at a very superficial level. And one thing that is highlighted in the report that I think is also quite shocking is that the failure for inter-agency cooperation to solve trafficking problems. And it only shows that, you know, we have not mature enough in terms of the bureaucracy and, you know, breaking through firewalls to help protect victims of trafficking.
So, Adrian, can I get your perspective from an economic sense? Because early on you made and alluded to the point that we are addicted to cheap labour. It's part of the current ecosystem for our manufacturing industry. But the flip side, we also see that the current positioning will in fact negatively impact foreign investor perception. Is this a case of a bird in hand is worth more than a two in bush? Because people just are preferring to have status quo, right, as opposed to trying to attract foreign high-tech investment into this country.
Yes, but we must not forget that the governments from in countries that are importing our products keep increasing their legal standards of importing supply chain products made in Malaysia or any other place in the world. So during the pandemic, we have seen the rubber industry being affected, electronics, and even palm oil, where millions of dollars in products have either been stopped from being exported or imported into other countries, and also contracts being cancelled. So I think supply chains are aware of the risk, and they sooner or later they will have to make difficult decisions on whether they can put their money in a place which can't manage labour with social justice and in according to the law. Yeah.
Adrian, would one solution be actually having very clear recruitment process for workers, for migrant workers? Would that actually help?
That would actually solve a very big part of the process. And that's why the International Labour Organization has come up with a fair recruitment principles. And it has also defined what recruitment fees consist of. And if you remember a few months ago, different companies were forced to pay back the recruitment fees that were, you know, taken illegally from migrant workers. So it could contribute quite a significant part as it prevents migrant workers from falling into debt bondage.
And I guess one final question from us, Adrian, how do we compare to regional peers in this region? I mean, do you think there's any country in our region that has made strides to improve, or are we all kind of in the same boat?
Yeah, so what would be interesting if you read this report together with the report of the International Trade Union, ITUC, where you almost see some mismatch in terms of the 10 countries in ASEAN, according to labour standard. But Malaysia is also on the second last tier for that report. Hmm. I think the country which did a bit better, you could say, I think almost all are in very low tiers. You know, I'm a bit afraid to say. Singapore is always on the top, but the others, for example, in this TIP report itself, you have Brunei, Burma, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Malaysia on tier 3, which is almost 50% of ASEAN. So it shows that, you know, despite ASEAN being a very hot place for investment, in fact, it could be one of the biggest trade blocks in the world in the near future. But the issue of labor hasn't been resolved yet. And it's many, many years to come before we can get our act in order.
Adrian, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Adrian Pereira, director of the North-South Initiative, a social justice initiative, talking us through the U.S. Trafficking in Persons Report 2022 and how Malaysia stacks up.
So what struck me was, you know, Janet Yellen, as you were saying, advocated this whole concept of friendshoring, which is moving trade to less friendly worlds. And of course, Southeast Asia seems to be one of those friendly partners with the United States. So with labor rules such as this, and the assessment pretty damning, I wonder, how does that change the relationship as friends between the United States and Southeast Asia?
Well, technically, if you're in Tier 3, the US government can impose sanctions, although there are question marks about their own practices when it comes to, you know, human trafficking.
Yeah.
But the point is, aside from that, we should definitely make some strides, right, in improving this, because it's been 20 years of us being in Tier 2, then Tier 2 watch list, and then now in Tier 3. What is our government really doing? What is their plan?
7:29 in the morning. We're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. After that, will the crisis in China's property sector infect other areas of the economy? We'll discuss. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.